Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Do we like pineapple on our pizza?
I actually do. A pineapple and jalapeno pizza is, well, okay.
Star Wars or Harry
Potter?
I don't
need any noises from the sound booth. Okay, you didn't get asked to be on the podcast.
I'm so excited to see you tonight.
First date, baby. First date, I can't wait. First date.
Welcome to another episode of First Date with me as your host, Lauren Compton. Today, I have a really exciting guest on. You know him from his also dating podcast, Endless Honeymoon. He also has a new book out called Subculture Vulture. Give it up for Moshe.
Do it again. We'll do it again.
Can I do the whole thing again?
Like a check casher, you know, like a person who cashes.
The last name I've never fucked up.
Here's what happens is you start thinking about it. It's like,
It is like,
Yeah, you start thinking about it, then it gets in your head. I opened for a woman named Karen Rontowski once, and I was so scared to fuck her name up, I had it written on my palms.
Moshe
and
Kasher. The,
yeah, okay. Here we go.
Moshe Kasher. Gosh darn it.
Let's pump.
I redo the whole thing? I think we got it the second time, right? Moshe Kasher?
Yeah.
You want it again?
No, I mean, it's your podcast, but there was, I'm not going to tell you let's do
it. Welcome to another episode of First Date with me as your host, Lauren Compton. My guest today has a book out called Subculture Vulture, and he also has a dating podcast called Endless Honeymoon, which I can't wait to go on as well. Give it up for Moshe Kasher.
Oh my God, you nailed it.
See, I can do it.
It was perfect, and it was beautiful, and it's really nice to be on this date with you.
Thank you.
To be honest, you're the first woman I've dated outside of my marriage. And so this is kind of exciting.
Yeah. How long have you been married?
10 years.
It's time.
Yeah. This feels like a nice time for a very public side piece.
Yeah. You know, the amount of times that I have been called a side piece.
I would never. You're my main piece.
Okay.
My wife is my side piece.
We're switching roles. That's some role play right there. Well, the way that this works, I have this menu. I have appetizer questions, main course, and then a dessert question at the end.
Sounds good.
So we're going to go through all the things.
I'm excited.
We'll start it off with something very light. Have you ever committed a crime?
Oh, how's that light? I've committed a number of crimes.
What's your favorite?
My favorite crime to have committed?
Uh-huh.
Probably the funniest crime that I committed was when I was, I think probably almost 15, I got sent to like a juvenile diversion court in Oakland.
Nice.
And I got sentenced to community service for biting my mother.
Ooh, wow.
And the problem with that, I mean, that's obviously an awesome thing to do. I think we can all agree that that's just cool.
I mean, maybe when you're a baby.
It wasn't the titty. It was, I think I bit her hand. I think I was on, she found drugs and then I was shitting. Is this kind of podcast?
It is now.
Okay. So I was on the toilet and my mother ran in like with the drugs.
Yeah.
And like did like a, you live in Texas. What's it called when is it a nose tackle, a dive tackle in football where they
oh, don't ask me
you.
About football questions.
I mean, look at me. I'm less of a man than you are. Like, so whatever that thing is where they dive through the air and grab you.
Yeah, call it a dive roll.
A dive roll. She did a dive roll onto me, onto the toilet, and started wrestling around with me. This is the kind of relationship I had with my mom when I was young.
Violent
and crazy and drug addled. She wasn't on drugs. I was, but she was trying to get me to get sober, and then eventually I did, but not
yet. And you were how old?
This was probably almost 15.
Wow.
I got sober when I was 15. That's chapter one of the book. But anyway.
Oh, this is your book. Let me see.
Yeah, this is called Subculture Vulture, a memoir in six scenes. And I go through all six of the chapters of my life, which are stand up.
Can I have this book?
Oh, whoa. What a bold question. No one's asked that. I mean, that's really wild. I can't. Yeah.
Will you sign it for me too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, and if you want as a bonus, I could bite you and go to court in the Texas system.
You know, I bit someone too when I was little.
Really?
Uh-huh. I was in daycare and this girl would bite me all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I went home and I had these bite marks and my mom asked me, she said, "Where are you getting these bite marks from?" And I said, "This girl in daycare is biting me." And she said, "Well, what do you do about it?" And I was like, "Oh, no, nothing." And she goes, "The next time that little girl," she said bitch, but I'll say girl,
sure,
"bites you, you bite her back." And so I did. I bit her on the face.
Wow, you went, you, you
I went,
went
cheek. I went full like American Gladiator wrestler,
sure,
and I bit her on the face. And then I got in trouble and they called my mom and they were like, your daughter just bit someone on the face." And she was like, "Yeah."
Did she bite you again?
No.
Well, that's it. Your mom was a great font of wisdom.
Yeah.
So my mom dive roll. What did we decide on? She dive rolled onto me and we were wrestling around on the ground and I sort of biting her.
Mm-hmm.
And she called the police and I went to this juvenile diversion court thing. Anyway, I got sentenced to community service. And the awkward part of that was the fellas, they started to talk like, "What are you in for? You know, one dude."
Yeah,
like,
it's like prison.
Grand Theft Auto. What about you? I robbed the liquor store. What about you, white boy? I bit my mama. Better watch out or I'll bite you too.
Yeah.
So that
must
have
been a strong ass bite mark.
It was a big bite mark and I'm feeling much better now.
That's good.
But that's my best crime, I think. But well, I was a tagger and I was a shoplifter. Ooh, I was a big shoplifter and my friends used to manipulate me because they would be like, "Moshe, you're the best. You're the best shoplifter. None of us can do what you do. None of us have the skills." And they knew that I like wanted their approval hard enough,
yeah,
that I would do it. So I was always the one like stealing a bottle of gin for the fellas.
I don't want this to offend you, but you don't look like a bad boy.
That is so true. And I don't take offense to that. Well, you know, I was 15 when I got sober and I'm not 15 anymore. It's like a different creature. It's like a different character.
Mm.
But I know what I look like. I know.
Well, you look smart.
It sounds like my...
You look put together. You look like you golf. You
yeah.
look like you should be 80.
It looks like my biggest crime would be pirating a Wes Anderson film. I get that. But I used to have a different life.
Yeah. Well, you cover up well.
Thank you.
Maybelline should learn from you. So did these crimes that you committed,
yeah,
did they ever affect your dating life?
99% of the crimes I committed was when I was like a juvenile delinquent. And once I got sober, that all went away. But, and this is actually the second part of the book, when I got into raves in the 90s, I was like a big rave promoter and rave DJ. I started working for this guy who was like, "I'm going to make you my right-hand man." And we started throwing raves together, these big raves in the San Francisco area. And he was not paying me. I'd work for like 100 hours for this guy.
Did you get free Molly?
Well, I was clean and sober, but I'm glad you brought up Molly, because eventually I said to him, I go, "Dude, I've been throwing these fucking parties for you. I'm your right-hand man, and you promised me that I'd be like your rave prince or whatever." And I was like, "And you never pay me." I was like, "You said I was your like top guy, but I feel like I'm your bottom bitch, right? And
yeah.
like, where's my money?" And he goes, "Look, I can't pay you for the rave stuff, but I do have a secondary business, which is you could sell Molly for me." And so at 17 years old, I became a clean and sober ecstasy dealer at raves in the 90s. So at that time, perhaps, yes, it helped me with my dating life, because the rave scene was filled with lovely moments of sex and sexuality.
Of course.
But before that, when I got sober, I think I had sex one time. I was like a virgin criminal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very, what a dichotomy.
I am truly a dichotomy.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten back with an ex?
I will be totally honest with you, because we're on our first date.
Please
and I want
do.
You to know who I am. My wife is my first serious relationship. So, yeah, I did get back with, I mean, I never had an ex. So, no, I never got back with an ex. But I did have women that I would date for, and despite the cowl neck, it was all women. I had women that I would date on and off for many years who like lived long distance or like, you know, or we would have a thing going back and forth, but I never committed until I started dating my wife. She's the first long-term monogamous relationship I've ever had.
Do you think that you learn more about relationships being in one long monogamous relationship or having a whole bunch of one-night stands?
Oh, 1,000%. 1,000% being in a long monogamous relationship. It's so much so that to be serious for a moment, I didn't understand what relationships actually were until I started dating my wife and it became committed and monogamous. For years, I would chase after the feeling that you have when you first start dating somebody, which is that it's a drug feeling, mm-hmm. right? It's like that butterfly thing. And I thought that's what a relationship was. I thought that a relationship, that love was butterflies.
Was like puppy love.
Right, exactly. So I chased it. And when I would date a woman and that feeling would start to recede, even like for a minute, mm-hmm. I would like pull the eject cord. I would be out.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was like a drug addict.
You're
in
like,
that way.
Oh, it's this over. Isn't not going to last.
Exactly. And I had such an immature version of what I thought love and dating was that I thought the minute that feeling dissipates at all, and it always does, right? I mean, like it always, every single time does, that the relationship was over. So dating my wife, I started to like realize, actually, I read this book because I was struggling. I went to therapy because I couldn't find a relationship. I like just couldn't figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. I would like panic. When that feeling would happen, the butterflies would recede and I would feel like,
oh no, not again.
And I would be like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like, immediately. So I read this book by M. Scott Peck called The Road Less Traveled. And in it, it describes that process. It describes it as like lust. Mm-hmm. But I think it was like written in the 50s. I think what they meant was what you're saying, puppy love.
Yeah.
And it said that that recedes always. And what's left over is what when you find out if you love that person, like real love is caring about another person as much or as more as yourself. And real love is like, I didn't even know that love was about partnership. I didn't know that information. Like, I thought it was about like me getting
what you wanted.
Yeah, me getting a euphoria from another person. And then I realized with my wife, and now, I mean, I've been married 10 years, like, it's also about like building a thing together. And I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, for anyone who doesn't know, you are married to Natasha Leggero.
Yes.
So she was also another comic. How did you guys meet?
Well, we met in the stand-up world. She was like my kind of, she was not like my dream girl or something, but she was dating other people and it wasn't like that. And I was busy doing my like hoe thing. And so it wasn't like that. So that was kind of, in a way that was cool for me because by the time I finally started dating her, I respected her so much that I want your listeners to know I'm like a really cool guy and like a really nice guy and like really awesome. But no, I respected her so much as a friend and as a peer that I wasn't willing to like, you know, do it casually. And I told her like, let's not sleep together for a while because I wanted to make sure I didn't want to fuck up a friendship and a professional relationship if it wasn't the real thing.
Right.
And so I took it slow. And she was, I think she was just trying to like get her dick wet. And so she was like, what's going on? Like, what's up with this dude? You know, like, why isn't he sleeping with me? And I was like, let's go slow. And then by the time we finally did hook up, I knew that I was in something important, I guess.
Yeah. Which takes us to our main course questions.
Yes.
Who is better at planning date night in your relationship?
Oh, it's like an ongoing, literal ongoing fight that I have like a ADD. And I just forget. Like, so Natasha's constantly telling me she wants me to take her out. And I have to like set like 14 reminders to do it. And when I do it, it's good. I mean, honestly, she's better. But I'm trying to, I just need to like remember that she needs that.
What kind of date night does she like? Like, does she like to go out to fancy dinners? Does she like to Netflix and chill? Like, what's date night? The best date night.
For me, the best date night is she sort of watches me do PlayStation. And like, that's kind of like, that's cool. I'll like put in like
does
nicotine.
She like to do that?
Yeah, I put in nicotine pods and I just chill and I play like The Last of Us or something like that. Or like or Apex Legends with my homies. And she gets to, and I let her listen to the chat, the group chat. So that's fun for her. No, we like spas. We like spas. That's, I would say that's the sweet spot is spas. Fancy restaurant? Sure, yeah. We do that too.
But y'all like massages, like couples massages?
Hell yes.
Have you ever been to a bathhouse?
Like a gay bathhouse?
No. Like a, what is it called?
Did you see the panic in my eyes when you asked? No.
No, there's like one in New York. It's called Ancient Air Baths.
Oh, you're talking about like a Russian Turkish bath or like a Korean spa?
Yeah.
Well, bathhouse, I don't know if you know this, Lauren. But bathhouse doesn't usually refer to a spa. It usually refers to like a gay cruising spot. And I thought you were putting me on the spot. And the answer is no. I've never been. No, I have been to many spas. I have an RV and I take Natasha on these like trips. My whole thing with Natasha, she's like you. She's like fancy, right? She's a lady. And I am like a beta male. So the way that I express my anxiety about my beta-ness is by trying to do alpha things, right? So I'm a beta with an alpha rising. I'm like a gamma male. And so I like to camp. I have like a big tough RV, like it's a truck, but it's not really an RV. It's like for tough guys, you know? It's like cool, look at me, this like overland vehicle. So we'll go on like long camping trips where every third day we have to check into like a nice hotel. So that to me is like the sweetest spot of what we've got. Like we'll do 3 days in the woods and then one day at like a really fancy hotel.
Yeah. What does retirement look like for you?
Oh my God, let it be tomorrow. What would retirement look like for me? I want to be on a beach with a surfboard and chilling with my family. And I would do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do you want to retire?
Of course.
Yeah.
But I feel very lucky. Like I'm everything I do, I really love. So I wouldn't mind doing
this forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think staying in touch with like how lucky people like us are is like such an important thing. Like, just to be able to, I mean, what do you do? You go on dates for a living with people and meet them and have a conversation. Same with me. We have this podcast, like our love turned into this podcast where we like do love advice and like, and then I go do stand up and then I get to write a book and then I get to meet I get to have a adulterous affair with a woman in Texas. Like this is my job. Like I have to stay focused on that.
Yeah. It's good to be reminded sometimes.
So maybe no, maybe never, maybe no retirement. They say comics don't retire. You just get old.
Well, Ron White did.
I introduced him on stage last night. How is he retired?
Looking for an easy way to have some fun without leaving your house? Check out DraftKings Casino, the number one online casino in America, with over 300 real money games. I'm partnering with DraftKings on this video to let you guys know about an exciting deal they have going on right now. All new customers who sign up using promo code DATE and make a minimum of $5 deposit will get an instant match up to $100 in casino credits. So head to DraftKings Casino app right now. Sign up using promo code DATE and make a deposit of at least $5. And DraftKings will instantly match that dollar for dollar up to $100 in casino credits.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 and over. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per new customer. Must opt in and make minimum $5 deposit within 7 days. 168 hours of registering new account. Max match $100 in casino credits, which require one-time playthrough within 7 days, 168 hours. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/newplayeroffer 2024.
My closet was chaotic, crammed with a bunch of clothes, but nothing to really wear. The game changer? Upgrading to high-quality, affordable pieces from Quince. Now I have a wardrobe of luxury essentials that transition from one occasion to the next. And I stayed on a budget. Do you like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for only $50? Organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry for 50 to 80% less than similar brands? Because I do, and it's all at Quince. I personally really love the pants that I just got from Quince. They hug my waist, they fit perfectly, and I have worn them endlessly. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/firstdate for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/firstdate to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/firstdate. It's crazy how February is the shortest month and has so many things to celebrate. There's Valentine's Day, President's Day, Black History Month, and of course, Groundhog Day. But if you really want to celebrate something, make February the month you plan to be debt-free. And PDS Debt can help. I have some personal friends of mine who use PDS Debt, and it has helped them so much. PDS Debt has customized options for anyone struggling with credit cards, personal loans, collections, or medical bills. If you're making payments every month on your debt and your balances aren't going down, then this program is for you. PDS Debt provides options that consolidate your debts into one low monthly payment. Let's celebrate you starting to get out of debt. Right now, PDS Debt is offering a free debt analysis. It only takes 30 seconds. Head over to pdsdebt.com/date to get your free debt assessment today. That's pdsdebt.com/date for your free assessment. pdsdebt.com/date.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If that's retirement, I
well,
like that sound.
I guess when I think of a comic retiring, they're not doing tours anymore.
Right, right. I could do that tomorrow for sure.
Because he like will perform at Mothership nights a week, but he just steps out of his house and goes and has a good time.
Right.
He's not, and I don't mean that in a way like he's not working. He's not out
right
on the road, because he told me he was on the road for like ever.
Oh, and that's the road road.
The road road.
Yeah. I love, the old saying is like you get paid to travel and you do the show for free.
Yeah.
Like that's the truth. Like when I'm on the road, I'm on stage, it always feels like magic. And I'm always like reminded of that thing, like how lucky I am. And then the minute I step off and it's like 11:10 in Indianapolis on a Saturday night, and I'm in my, like at the Courtyard Marriott picking out like Doritos for my nightcap, I'm like, I gotta get off the fucking road.
Yeah. Well, your wife went topless on stage recently.
That's a good segue. One of the best segues. Yeah.
How do you feel about that? I mean, I would feel like fucking cool. Like she...
I was, I guess the word is furious and cucked. No, I thought it was like the coolest shit I've ever seen. I thought it was like so punk rock and so awesome. Like, and back to what you were saying before about like remembering to have fun and be like, to me that's what it was like Natasha's having fun on stage. Like that made me really, really happy.
Yeah.
And also the next segment in the book is Burning Man, and I've been going to Burning Man since the 90s. Nudity for me is like, there's nothing about it that is like, I don't feel that
like,
at all.
Oh my god, boobs.
Like zero.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, like, listen, if Bert Kreischer had like titty fucked her, that would have been upsetting. I would have called him and her. I would have had a conversation with both of them. But the fact that she followed him and took her shirt off, I thought was like the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I thought that was really cool too. I wish I would have seen the set though. I wanted to know what the context was behind it.
I think it was just that she was following Bert and Bert didn't have his shirt on.
Oh.
And so she came up and took her shirt off like he does, and it was like this, like, I mean, it was so badass. The video is so cool because it like shows her and she looks like such, she looks so hot and like such a fucking badass. And then the camera pans around to Bert, who's like, he's like losing his fucking mind, like with joy. And I just thought, like, I loved it. She told me she was doing it, and I was in.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What is your favorite thing about your relationship with her?
My favorite thing about my relationship with Natasha, there's a lot. Like, she's got wisdom that I don't, and I think that's like a healthy relationship. Like, when I help her with things and she helps me with things, she's calm. Like, dude, I used to spend, I'm sorry for calling you dude, I used to spend my whole day, I thought it was like a part of my comedy brand to go back and forth with people, with trolls on the internet, like commenters. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, it's my brand. It's part of what I do. I like go, I go there. I go in on these fools. And I would be like 8 hours into like an argument with some fucking loser in Tallahassee going back. And she was like, why are you spending your life doing that? That's a waste of your psychic energy. And it just never occurred to me. Like, I just thought like, that's what you do. And I haven't looked at an internet comment in probably 3 years. Like, I don't even look anymore. And that's 100% because of her. And it was her wisdom. And I've got wisdom that she doesn't have. And so I really love that. I love working with another person, another artist, mm-hmm. who's like, we can bounce ideas back and forth. She read my book when I was writing mine. I read her book. We gave each other notes. We do a podcast together. We've written on TV shows together. We've toured together. Like, it's what I was talking about in the beginning. Like, it's a romantic partnership, and it's also like a creative partnership, and that's like super fulfilling and nice. And also, she's hot.
What is your exit strategy for it? I just said
Oh, and I've been saying like this whole time. We did talk. It was not toxic. She's been a perfect gentlewoman. But we did talk about ums and likes and getting them out.
It's
so I've been doing like, and I've been self-conscious about it. Maybe we can help each other, actually.
I think so.
Yeah, like somehow I will remember this conversation every time I say like, and I want you to remember me every time you say
I will.
Okay, this is good.
So I'm going to slow it down.
Slow it down. Take the ums out. No more likes.
Okay.
Let's see if we can do the rest of this podcast without an or a like.
What a challenge. Let's try this. What is your exit strategy for a terrible first date?
So like I guess like my exit strategy for a terrible first date. I used to get out like when I did it. I used to get out like this is awful. Why did we do this to ourselves?
I have no idea, especially at the end.
This is like the opposite of good podcasting, is thinking about the way that you're talking.
I know.
Okay. But when I felt it's over, I would bail. I would go. I remember I was
out. But how would you bail?
I would say, I don't think this is going to work.
Straight up.
Well, I remember I was dating a girl once, and we had gone out on a few dates, and I paid every time we went out because it was the two of us, right? And I would pay for the date. But then the third or fourth date, she brought two friends, and she got all upset that I hadn't paid for her two friends as well. And I go, I'm not just here to feed you and your community. Like, is that what you thought this was? It's not happening. And she got super offended. She's like, I think I'm worth it. And I go, you're worth it, but I'm not a food fund. And I remember we were I lived in a studio apartment, and the distance between where we were fighting to the door was so short. It was 5 feet away that I just said, I think this date's over. And we got up and walked out. And then I said, I can't believe you would let a $10 Thai meal get in the way of our future together and close the door in our face. That was rude. I apologize.
It's too late to take it back. I said it again.
I've been saying like this whole time. Don't worry about it. Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. I can't get up. I have my headphones in. I'm locked in.
Do you want me to go turn it off?
I
will do that for you.
You know who that is? I can tell you who it is
It's your boyfriend?
It's a spam call.
Oh, yeah.
From AT&T.
Unknown caller.
I moved out of a studio that I used to shoot in a lot. And all I used, it was just a shooting studio. And I had Wi-Fi there. And I didn't return the equipment.
Oh, they're after you.
And so they want their equipment back. And they even told me that I was going to be sent to collections over this. And I told them I lost it. I was like, I don't know where it actually is. I've moved, and I had movers come and pack up all my stuff. I would have to go through my entire storage unit to find this stuff.
You can't just pay for it?
I'm not going to do that.
You know what? This has been an actually like the best first date I've ever had, and I'm feeling bad about that woman who I wouldn't pay for her Thai meal. I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do for you, sweetheart. When I get out of this podcast, I'm going straight to the AT&T Super Center here in Austin, Texas, and I'm gonna buy your router.
Oh,
I'm gonna pay for your router, girl.
That might be the sweetest thing anyone's ever done for me.
I told you I've changed. I went to therapy. I know how to treat a lady now.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, no, I'm a good guy.
And I got a book out of this.
Oh, yeah, you did get a book.
I'm winning.
I feel like I'm winning.
You're a great
too.
Person today.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Natasha, you're a lucky bitch.
That's right.
All right, we're going to do my favorite tasting menu. This is a series of questions where you have to just, off the top of your head, say which one.
Okay.
All right? There's a bunch of them.
They're choices.
Uh-huh. Okay, it's like this or that.
Okay, cool.
The first one's not a this or that, though. Okay. The oldest thing in your fridge?
There are, I would say, layers of hummus from like different like eras of my life. Like, you know what I mean? There's like multiple buckets and I'm like, I don't know which one to throw out. I think it's time to do a hummus purge, actually. Because, like, I don't know what the modern one is.
Perfect.
There's ones in there where there are Bible characters still in it.
That is so funny. Do you just eat hummus raw? Or do you
No,
eat
what I'm
carrots?
Saying is I buy, well, what do you mean raw?
I mean, do you just eat it by the spoonful? Because you're making it sound like you just eat it.
No, it's like, first of all, I'm from California. And we eat hummus, okay? So I don't mean to like do a, like a culture shock for you or whatever. But
I
that's
lived
just
in California
like,
for 16 years.
That's just who we are.
Okay, okay,
but
you're still
now you're
it.
Here and you don't get our culture anymore, okay? We eat hummus. We go surfing, okay?
Have I changed?
We vote for Sleepy Joe Biden. That is who we are.
Ew.
Okay,
all right.
No.
East Coast or West Coast?
Oh, West Coast. Ocean.
Deep
yes.
dish or thin crust
well,
pizza?
Well, they have the hold on.
You don't
I'm an
get
idiot.
To elaborate.
Well, okay, sorry. I just feel like an idiot because I go ocean. You said East Coast. They've got an ocean there too. West Coast. I like the Pacific. Keep talking. Sorry.
Deep dish or thin crust pizza?
Oh, it depends on the day, but you know what? Okay, fine. I'll double your deep dish and I'll say yes.
Ocean.
West Coast. When I'm on the East Coast, it's thin crust. When I'm on the West Coast, I'm doing a deep dish.
Okay. Do we like pineapple on our pizza?
I actually do. A pineapple and jalapeno pizza is... well, okay.
Star Wars or
hey,
Harry Potter?
I don't
Potter?
Need any noises from the sound booth. Okay? You didn't get asked to be on the podcast. Pineapple and jalapeno is a good combo. I'm telling you.
Moving on.
All right, fine.
Star Wars or Harry Potter? You look like the kind of person that likes both.
I am a both for sure, but I will say the Star Wars means more to me and Harry Potter is more me. I am Harry Potter.
You are.
Yeah. Listen, don't point and laugh at me. I don't like
you
what you're doing.
You literally
right.
look like an old Harry Potter.
Okay, first of all, fuck you. That's the old was so unnecessary. But you know what? When I used to work for a long time. I was a sign language interpreter, and I worked in like public schools.
Because your parents were deaf,
my
right?
My parents they still are. Well, my mom still is deaf. My dad's dead, so he can hear me in heaven, and he loves your podcast. Can I just say that he loves your podcast?
What an angel.
But I would go to public schools in like Oakland and Richmond, and. In the early years, they would point and laugh and say, ha-ha, Buddy Holly. And then eventually they would point and laugh and say, ha-ha, Harry Potter. And I was just like, that's just a white person with glasses. Like, this feels like...
No, you have, like, the circle glasses.
All right.
The look, only thing you're missing is the little lightning bolt on your forehead.
I'll tell you what, though. Why am I Harry Potter? Is because, not only because I look exactly like him, but because, like, my whole life has been, and that is what that book's about, is, like... feeling like a weak, sort of have no friends, powerless kid, and then all of a sudden, I go through a portal, I go through that little turnstile, and I'm in a different universe. I found my people, and I have magical powers. Stand up is like that, and I feel like you. Don't you feel like you have a superpower in a way?
Kind of.
Yeah, it is like.
But mine
that.
Are on my chest.
No. Yours are above your chest.
Okay, Dad. Best music to have sex to.
Total silence so that I can whisper I love you, I love you, I love you over and over again while making unrelenting eye contact and stroking Natasha's ear. That's the way she likes to do it, and that's the way I like to do it too. I'm not a big music guy, but I would say house music could be good because you can get your rhythm.
Okay. Yeah, coming from a true raver.
That's right.
Leather or lace?
I'm not a big...
On a girl, obviously. Not
right.
what you like to wear.
All right, no, I get it. I'm not a big lingerie guy. I think lingerie is a con. I think it's like I've never met a man that's like, oh, I love it. Yeah, give it to me. I think it's for women. It always reminds me of like a White Snake video when a woman has lingerie on. You know what I mean? Like just like a cocaine on top of a Corvette or whatever.
Yeah.
So nudity, I would choose.
Nudity.
I'll choose nudity.
I like that. So ghosts or aliens?
I'm going to go aliens because ghosts aren't real and aliens might be. Yeah.
Okay. Mohawk or mullet?
I'm going to go, I'll choose mullet because as an insufferable hipster, the mullet is a style I could actually rock.
Business in the front, party in the back.
Yeah. Cocaine in the nose.
Favorite cocktail?
I'm not a drinker, so I will say, I will go for Diet Coke. Ooh, that's weak, huh? That just feels so weak.
It's very Harry Potter.
You think Harry Potter drank Diet Coke? That's butterbeer, girl. Don't get it twisted.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee all day. Black coffee. I heard a great, there was a guy introducing a competitive hot dog eater. It was at one of those contests.
Uh-huh.
And the barker that was starting the event, this is one of the most profound things I ever heard in my life. This old man is like 90 years old at Coney Island introducing the competitive hot dog eaters. And he goes, I don't know why he introduced them like this, but he goes, when we are young, we drink our coffee with milk and sugar, then with only milk, then black, then decaf, then we die. And I thought that was the most profound poem I have ever heard. And I'm on black, so I'm like one notch away from death.
Favorite car?
Favorite car is definitely my my truck, my RV. I have a Tiger Pro Van on a Chevy 2500 HD chassis. I'm a real man, and I jerk off in the front seat. But that's my favorite. That's like my baby. It goes my child, my wife, my truck.
Okay.
Yeah.
For my dessert question.
Yes.
How did you propose to Natasha?
I just had my attorney contact her, to be honest. There was a very complicated prenup. We went to New Orleans, and we ate at a restaurant, called Irene's, which is like a really nice restaurant. And I had the ring, but I was like, I was so nervous and I couldn't do it. I didn't do it. Actually, even we went to Hawaii first and I was going to do it there. And I was planning on doing it. And then we went swimming at a beach in Maui and she got like slammed by a wave so hard that she dislocated her shoulder. Ooh. And when she came up out of the water, it looked like Sigourney Weaver in Aliens. Like it was just like,
really?
And I was looking at her shoulder. I go, I can't help. Like there's nothing I can do. I need to run to the beach and find a real man. So she was in a sling and I'm like, I'm not going to propose to her here. So then we got to New Orleans. Like this is a few months later. And there was another time I almost proposed to her too on the set of another period, her Comedy Central show, which I wrote on. There was a moment where it was like a carry scene, but it was a bucket of shit. And it was like when the shit bucket turned over and like she was covered in fake shit. I thought this would be a perfect comedic moment to propose to her, but I didn't do it there. But we went to Irene's and then I walked her down to the Mississippi River, to the banks of the Mississippi. And I did not get down on one knee because that's some bitch shit. I was too nervous, but on the banks of the Mississippi River in New Orleans, that's where I proposed to her.
And you stood face to face.
We stood face to face. I looked her in the eyes and I said, how would you like to join me on our journey together down the river? I didn't say that.
And she just said yes.
She
as
said
fast
yes
as possible.
And to be honest, we went home and we had sex like immediately afterwards. And I always thought that was weird, like that we got horny. Like, you know what I mean? It's like this life together, you and I in partnership forever. Oh, let's go fuck. I always thought that was a weird, but that's what happened.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on my show.
Thank you for having me. Nice to date you.
Nice to date you too.
And I hope you enjoy the book.
Yeah, I really appreciate the book. For you guys out there that want to read this cool book, Subculture Vulture, you can find it. Where can you find it?
You can find it on Amazon or any bookseller. Find an indie bookseller, even better. So, and I honestly would love to have you on the podcast because it's like you're a dating expert and we have like all these young people calling in asking for advice and you'd be so fun on there. And then we also have this thing called the Secrets Hotline where people call and leave their deep, dark secrets.
Ooh,
and I think you'd really like that.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
They can find me at Moshe Kasher, Endless Honeymoon Podcast, MosheKasher.com. I'm touring. I'm coming to a city near you. I got all kinds of stuff coming up. And the book is out now. I'm excited about it.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
First date, baby.
Are you really drinking a glass of milk with dinner?
First date, I can't wait.
You told your mom about me?
Just say you're ready.
Delete my number.